So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for us?
Sure. My name is Stephen Leckie. I'm the director of events for Venture Richmond and the Richmond Folk Festival. And we are a nonprofit organization here in town that our main goal is to get people to come to downtown Richmond. And one of the ways we do that is through events. So we produce Friday Cheers, Dominion River Rock, the Second Street Festival, and the Richmond Folk Festival.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And how did you know Jim?
I've known Jim since the inception of the Folk Festival back in 2005. The National Folk Festival is an organization and a festival that's been around for, at this point, about 80 years, and its goal is to go from city to city in three-year stints. And so the National Folk Festival came to Richmond in 2005 and was here for 3 years, and Jim was instrumental in, one, getting the festival to come to Richmond, but two, once it came, he was a member of the marketing committee that helped us design the logo and helped us figure out what the sort of vibe and the feeling of the festival would be. Yeah. And then also he was the first programming chair for our programming committee. And this is a group of about 15 to 20 music-minded people. Not everyone is a musician in the group. Not everyone's a music historian. There are just normal day, everyday people, but they might love reggae, or they might know a lot about Scandinavian music, or just something odd. So Jim was the chair of that committee for many, many years in the inception of the festival. And so that's how I got to know Jim that way. But I also knew Jim on a musical path as well, because we shared a lot of the same friends, and I play drums, and obviously he shreds on the guitar. Mm-hmm. So we got to play a lot also. So, and during this whole time, I've been trying to figure out, did I know Jim through music first, or did I know Jim through the folk festival first? And I still haven't been able to pin that down, but I've known him since at least 2005.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you have a long history with Mr. Wark.
I do, yes.
Talk to us a little bit about your time with him at the folk festival.
Sure. Yeah, Jim was a shining light. He was everything that we would want in a folk festival volunteer and a folk festival patron. He just got it. He got it from day one and sort of knew the value that this festival could bring to the city and could bring to people that might not have the opportunity to be exposed to some of these genres and some of this food and some of these marketplace vendors and things like that. He totally got it. Jim, as the programming chair, set the tone for what kind of performers we would get. In the first few years, we'd always hear from some people that, boy, there really needs to be a local Richmond stage at the Folk Festival, stage that's like the Richmond, Virginia stage. And as much as Jim and many of the programming committee members would have loved to perform at the Folk Festival, mm-hmm. because many of them were musicians and top-notch bands, they sort of got that this was a little bit bigger than that, and that this was an opportunity for the Venture Richmond and the festival to expose people to genres that they might not have ever had the opportunity to see. And that while we love some of the acts that are here in Richmond and Virginia, we aren't booking based on where you're from. We're booking based on what we need and talent and holes to fill. And so if you happen to be an amazing Richmond artist, you'll get on that stage. But we're not going to just pigeonhole a stage for Richmond bands. And Jim helped sort of navigate those waters in the first few years, because he was so tight, obviously, with the Richmond music scene, but he was also incredibly tight with us. So his help with that was amazing. And then his help, just sort of his line at every meeting, he always said, what's going to be our little dose of weirdness? He always wanted a dose of weirdness. And a few years ago, we had an artist named Wang Lee, who was a mouth harpist. And if you can imagine the mouth harp, I always sort of associate it with sort of more like old-timey Civil War kind of playing. Yeah. Wang Lee takes that and throws it on its head and just puts effects pedals to it. It's almost like a Jimi Hendrix of the mouth harp. But that was all Jim. That was Jim sort of pushing sort of weirdness, that when we would hear things like that, he'd be like, oh, this is absolutely perfect for the festival. And he just got it. He also knew that we needed to have – stuff that was palatable and easy for mm-hmm. the non-discerning music fan. And so he was a big fan of soul and doo-wop and oldies and things yeah. that, you know, you can sit down on a grassy field on a sunny fall afternoon and just sort of relax to that kind of stuff. And you mentioned before we started about polka and his love for polka.
Yes,
and
yes, please.
Yeah, we would have never had any polka bands if it wasn't for Jim. Jim, I don't know how he became such a if you look at Jim, he seems like a perfect polka band member. He's a little short and round and just smiling. And he would look
perfect
great
in the lederhosen.
A lederhosen. That's exactly. Put a lederhosen in like a tuba or something. And man, he would fit right in. So I don't know where his. And he was from Boston. So maybe there's a good music polka scene up in the Northeast. But I don't know where his affinity came from for that genre of music. But we were, I should have looked, but we were able to have a couple polka bands over the years. I can't remember what the years were.
Nice.
And those were strictly because of him pushing that through. And we're going to try and figure out some way, obviously, to remember Jim. We will never forget Jim, but some way we can really do something special for him at the festival. And one of the ideas was maybe we get a really kick butt polka band this year and dedicate all their sets to Jim. There's a lot of ideas going around, so we have till October to figure that out.
But yeah,
he was instrumental in all those years. And I can't stress enough the sort of energy that he brought just to the festival. He was incredibly agreeable. Any weird idea we would have or any new sort of thing that would go with the festival, Jim would always sort of get behind it and spearhead it. We do a oyster shucking contest every couple of years at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman that heads that up is the state folklorist for Virginia, a guy named John Lohman.
Yeah.
And John, we'd done this oyster contest many times. We're trying to figure out ways to keep it fresh. And John one year was like, why don't we put somebody in a toga and have them bring the oysters in on a silver platter and make it incredibly just out there and audacious. And
yeah.
Jim was the first person that anyone thought to do that. And obviously Jim was the first person to agree to do that. And John mentioned that he sort of had this Bacchus look to him, but he did. He looked very regal and cool in his white bed sheet, you know, or whatever it was, some linen bed sheets.
That's
but
awesome.
It worked out really well.
I think I've seen a photograph of that. I think he has like a gold braided headband.
He absolutely
on
does. And it just, it's all so ridiculous, you know, someone coming in a toga at the folk festival with oysters to let these two ladies do an oyster shucking contest. But it was so perfect and it was so Jim. It just worked.
Yes.
It worked well.
Jim really knew how to keep it weird.
He did. And the other really cool thing about Jim's involvement with the folk festival, God, he touched on so many different things, but we have an after party every year on Saturday night at the host hotel. And this party's turned out to be essentially like the best performances of the whole weekend. And it's only a select few people that get to go to this thing, staff and volunteers. And if you're lucky enough to know where it is, you just sort of stumble into it. And it's Saturday night and it runs from about 9 to 1 or 2 in the morning. And it's fun. And we have jam sessions set up a little more formal where we actually have gear and drums and things like that. Then we actually have little pockets in the hallways where bluegrass pickers will just pick or somebody will just, you know, start something and people will fill in.
Nice.
The first few years of that, it was awkward trying to get everybody to jam and we were trying to force it and it just didn't work out that well. Well, at some point, Jim sort of took that over and became the MC for that after party. Again, it's like very late at night. A lot of drinking and fun and just good times and celebratory. But once he took that over, that jam became a whole nother thing because he would sort of be just the band leader playing his guitar and it would switch from a polka band to a go-go band to a bluegrass band to like a Jewish klezmer band. And he was able to just sort of dial in and follow along with these artists. I mean, his level of guitar playing was incredibly proficient. Jim probably did not need to have a real job. Like he probably could have performed as a musician if he wanted. I think one of his funny lines was he had to play in 4 or 5 bands in this city just to be able to play like once a month because yeah. that's sort of how Richmond is. You just sort of have to be in so many bands to try and at least get out there once or twice. And I'm sure he had a great time playing. But yeah, he could have been just a pro guitar player. He mm-hmm. was so good. So good.
Yeah. Folks have been sending us music, and I've totally been rocking out to all of his killer guitar solos.
Yeah. I mean, it's – and it just his – the depth of how many – sort of effortlessly he can cover various genres is really impressive. Some guitar players can sit and they're just a jazz guy or a really good picker, but he really could cover from soul to rockabilly to funk to anything.
Everything.
Anything.
In between.
Such a great ear. I mean that's besides the loss that we'll feel at the festival, just that loss in the music community is a big one.
Yeah. For sure. Any other stories, tidbits, memories that you'd like to share with our listeners?
My mom was the volunteer coordinator for the festival for the first couple years because mm-hmm. we didn't really know what to expect. So I was managing the festival and we were supposed to have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers help out for the event and put nobody to run it. So my mom stepped in and she did an awesome job for many years. But she told me a story last week that on the first year of the festival on Saturday, we were supposed to have hundreds of volunteers and had like barely anybody.
Oh,
and
no.
She was at the volunteer check-in and up comes Jim Wark and this other gentleman named Gary Gerloff, who passed away way too soon, another great musician. But she said that Gary, in very Gary form, was sort of giving her a hard time and joking and saying, where are the volunteers? And we're sort of screwed and all this kind of stuff. But immediately Jim turned to how can we help and was positive and, you know, sort of wrangled volunteers and didn't make light of the situation, but instead fixed the situation and made things better. So that's a really nice way for us to remember him like that.
Yeah. As that sort of positive,
absolutely
forward thinking fixer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Stephen. This has been really great.
Yeah, thanks for having us, and thanks for continuing Jim's legacy. We
appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll look forward to the Folk Fest this year.
Thank you.